Welcome back, crime fanatics. This is Steph.
And I'm Kat.
And today is a Kat episode. She had me super confused with the name, and I thought we were doing a different story than what she actually is. But I kind of want to touch on this story that's happening out of Ohio right now. I'm going to cover it in the next podcast episode, but there is a boy named Harley Dilley, D-I-L-L-Y, that has been missing since December 20th, and the cops are getting nowhere. He was a YouTuber, and he was very active on his YouTube postings. And there's been some like fishy stuff posted throughout the years of that his parents have done to him maliciously, but we will get into that more next week. But if you know anything about him, contact the Port Clinton, Ohio Police Department and help them find him. Hopefully he's still alive.
Yeah, hopefully. I always hold out hope when there's stories like this, but then I always have that in the back of my head, like, it's probably not going to end well.
Yeah.
Especially with the details you have of the case, so.
He's 14, so I don't know.
I mean, it's possible. I definitely hope that he ends up being brought home safely. But. Well, we will cover that story next week. I do have one little news clip I wanted to share with you guys because I found it absolutely ridiculous and slightly funny, but also disturbing. So you remember how we've talked about Florida Man before and how like you can put in Florida Man in your birthday and there will always be like an insane story?
Yeah.
Well, there is a new Florida Man story. So in Bradenton, Florida, on Christmas Eve, a man woke up to find a burglar sucking on his toes.
What the fuck?
And the resident and the stranger ended up getting into a scuffle, obviously. The stranger said he was there to suck toes. And according to the incident report obtained by the Herald down there, a fight broke out between them. And the suspect tried to grab the victim's genitals and claimed to have a gun. They ended up, the victim was able to get the guy out of his house. And the suspect smashed one of the home's windows as well as the windshield of the resident's car. They swabbed the victim's toes for DNA evidence to try and track the suspect with a police dog. But the alleged toe-sucking burglar was able to escape. So, if you have any information on that, Floridians, please share it with your local sheriff. This is in Bradenton. Let's go back really quick. Yeah, Bradenton, Florida. So, if you know anyone with a toe-sucking fetish who also maybe burgles houses, or I don't even know. This is such a strange one, but I can't imagine waking up and that's what's like your biggest fear is having somebody like breaking your house to murder you or whatever, but to have somebody breaking your house to suck on your toes, like what?
Could you imagine your reaction to that?
Well, I'd probably kick
exactly. him in the face. I don't like my feet being messed with. Like, it takes a lot for me to go get a pedicure because I'm always terrified that they're going to tickle me. And, like, that's my first reaction when people touch my feet is to kick them in the face.
Yeah, but, like, so you're sleeping. So I think I involuntarily would probably, like, kick just because I, like, that's my reaction when I'm sleeping is to, like, jerk if something's bothering me. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure even if you ask my husband, like, half the time if he, like, bothered me. Sleep, I probably slap him, so I can't imagine somebody sucking on my toes. Even my oh no, stop it. <That's> so, gross. So gross. No, absolutely not. Anyway, yeah, I had to share that one though, because that was like two birds, one stone, the Florida man, and a ridiculous story. So I do you want to get into a case? And the reason that Steph was confused is because apparently you should never, ever marry someone with the last name Peterson if you are currently married to someone named Peterson, I'm sorry for whatever. But so she thought I was doing Scott Peterson. And understandably so, because it is the same last name. Now, if you've watched The Staircase, there's also someone with the last name Peterson who allegedly also murdered his wife or wives. But I am actually covering someone else today. Now, I'm not sure of you, how many of you will know this case. I feel like it was a big one, but it might just be because it was in my area. For me, this is another JonBenet Ramsey type case. It's a case that perplexes the fuck out of me. For at least one of the victims, we may never know where she ended up. The murderer I'm covering today is one of the my most hated human beings, Drew Peterson. So, yes, he's a Peterson also. Drew Peterson has an uncomfortable amount of parallel settings to my own life, just because we were born in the same town of Oak Park, Illinois. He grew up and spent most of his life in the suburbs of Chicago as well. He served in the Army and actually went to the same college I attended for a minute, COD, which is also known as the College of DuPage. And small sidebar, it's the college that we basically made fun of when we were going to school, called it the College of Dreams and COD State. But in reality, it's one of the top junior colleges in the U.S. So it's creepy to me that he likely walked the same halls as me, obviously in a different time period. He's older than I am, but we could have sat in the same classrooms. It's just, I don't know. It's a lot of the same places, too many for my liking. Now, in the early 70s, Drew joined the military. While in the service, he married his first wife and his high school sweetheart. They went to prom together. Her name was Carol. The pair had two sons, but Drew and Carol divorced when she learned he was cheating on her, which is understandable. And Drew ended up training to become a police officer and would go on to have about a 30-year career as a Bolingbrook police officer, which is maybe 30 minutes from where I am currently. So that's all, like, it's all in my area. It's all basically where I've grown up and lived most of my life. So Drew was assigned to the narcotics squad. Blah, blah. He got some awards. Yada, yada. We still end up hating his guts no matter what good he may have done as a police officer. Mostly because, in my opinion, and I think you'll agree by the end of this story, that the reason he went on to commit the crimes he did was because the power of his position as a police officer basically went to his head, where he became this mentality of being invincible, I think. Now, after divorcing Carol in 1980, Drew started dating a woman named Kyle Morrison. He had met her when he was on a police call, actually, at a gas station for somebody who had not paid for their gas. And within about 4 months of dating Kyle, he proposed to her. So with his first marriage behind him and his career moving forward, Drew's behavior began to escalate a little bit. He was very controlling and suspicious of Kyle and would accuse her of cheating if she went out without him. He would follow her and check up on her when she went to workout classes. He would tell her how fat or ugly she looked. And that's all classic controlling boyfriend, husband, significant other. Even it could be wife or girlfriend, I suppose, as well. It definitely happens in the reverse, but I think we see more likely that it's a husband or boyfriend.
Which, at this point, either way, it still just shouldn't happen.
Nope, exactly. So at this point, she started to see some red flags, luckily, with Drew, and she told him she wanted to call off the engagement. But Drew didn't take easily to rejection. He ended up arguing with her over the breakup and calling her names, and unfortunately overpowering her physically. He pushed her over his coffee table and then held her on the ground by kneeling on her arms.
What the fuck?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So after he finally let her up, she went home. She did get away from him. And she called the police, which is who you call when something bad happens and you want help, right?
Yeah.
But he is the police. So who did they send out on the call?
Him.
Close enough. Not him, but one of his friends, of course, because, yeah. So, of course, no action came of this call because it's one of his friends that's coming out, and he basically just explained to her how Drew was upset over the breakup, and basically nothing was done. The relationship was over, but she wouldn't be rid of Drew just yet. He and his friends started writing her false parking tickets that were never put on her car, so she didn't know she had any parking tickets. Eventually, there was a warrant put out for Kyle's arrest for parking tickets she didn't even know she had, which were phony. I mean, let's be honest. Drew and his partner showed up and arrested Kyle. In court, the charges were dropped, luckily, but he'd gotten what he wanted. Kyle knew he had power over her because he could show up and arrest her whenever he wanted, right? I mean, that's a terrifying thought. You're obviously going to not push any further or talk any more crap because you don't want anything bad to happen. So next, Drew Peterson set his sights on a new female named Vicky Connolly. Now, he met her at a bar at a time when she was going through a bad divorce. He pursued her kind of relentlessly. She didn't even want to give him her phone number at first because she was going through a bad divorce. She had a daughter, and she didn't want to make things any worse on herself. But he kind of wore her down. He was charming and wined and dined her. And eventually the two were set to be married, basically before the ink had even dried on Vicky's divorce papers from her first husband in 1982. The two bought and operated a bar together. Now, just so we can keep track, this is his third engagement, second marriage. He was accused of getting involved with, so Drew ended up getting himself into some trouble during this time while he was married to Vicky, and he was accused of getting involved with a local loan shark and trying to sell drugs, because remember, he's on the narcotics squad. So he was accused of trying to get people to sell the drugs that he had stolen from some of his busts, which is definitely a no-no. The charges ended up being dropped, but Drew was demoted to patrol officer. So he's no longer on the narcotics squad after all this went down, which I feel like...
That's a plus.
I don't know this, but I feel like this is almost sometimes... And so when you have, total sidebar, when you have someone who's accused of molesting a child in the Catholic Church, instead of getting rid of them, they move them somewhere else. And I feel like this is almost a cover up like that, not of that proportion. There were no children molested, but having some police officer who's dirty as fuck, instead of letting him be charged and deal with the consequences of his actions, they basically just demoted him, I think, in my opinion. I can't prove it. I have no evidence, but it's odd to me that you would keep him on, but just demote him otherwise. Especially if you found that he was not guilty, why are you demoting him at all?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
No, exactly. So Drew and Vicky were married for about 10 years, and during that time, both Vicky and her daughter from a previous marriage claimed that Drew was extremely controlling and abusive to the point where he would point a gun at Vicky's head and threaten to kill her. Now, with their marriage on the rocks, Drew sought out a new companion while still married to Vicky, which this is like a cycle. Like, I feel like this guy... Maybe he should have just tried out being single for a little while. He might have liked it.
He's a serial dater.
No, seriously, though. Like, he's still married. He's like a serial monogamist, but in the worst way. Like, in a fatal Fatal Attraction kind of way. Almost kind of like you, but not, but without the little bit of good that seemed to be in Joe in that show.
Well, so, thanks.
He, while he's still married to Vicky, he starts dating what would become his third wife, Kathleen Savio. Now, he'd met her on a blind date, which he went on rather than attend his wife Vicky's birthday party. Yep. He's a delight, that Drew. Now, Drew began a relationship with Kathleen under the pretense that basically he was the victim in his marriage with Vicky, that he was divorcing his wife because she was a heroin addict. But Drew had not yet filed for divorce or even discussed it with Vicky, and Vicky wasn't a heroin addict. Instead, one night, he came into the bar that they owned and told Vicky that she could leave early. So he sent her home. And on her way home, Vicky was driving down a country road. It had been drizzling and it was dark out. And Vicky saw something on the road and tried to stop her car. But she couldn't brake. There were no brakes. She ended up rolling the car 3 times. And Vicky survived the crash, but she ended up in a coma for 10 days. She had to have multiple surgeries to reconstruct her face. And in an interview, Vicky's friend said that is when she knew that if she wanted to get out of this marriage alive, she would have to bow down to Drew, basically. Now, the injuries to Vicky were extensive. Like, she had basically, her nose was reversed into her face. Ew. Like, she had to have major reconstructive surgeries in order to, like, she was very, very injured in this accident, and I'm sure she was terrified. So because of that, she decided not to fight for any kind of money or property in her divorce. She told Drew she just wanted out and he could have whatever he wanted. But what a terrifying thought to be, basically know someone tried to kill you and you're too terrified to even say anything. You just are basically like, take whatever you want and leave me be. I mean, she does have a daughter. It's not his child too. So she's, I'm sure, just wants to be able to go home to her daughter, you know? So he gave her the divorce, which was final just a few weeks later, and even bought her out of the bar, which was nice of him, huh?
One good thing.
I guess, yeah. And she survived, luckily. So positive out of this whole story is that she's still around to tell her story. But Drew still tried to hold some power over her. For a while after, he would show up at her house and just be standing over her when he woke up. Drew Peterson is basically a lifetime movie nightmare. He's the creepiest creep of all the creeps in Creepland. Like, I cannot imagine having waking up and your ex is standing over you while you're sleeping. That is worse than toe sucking. It's worse than, it's just the worst. I can't imagine the fear that she probably felt with that. And what do you even do? I mean, the reason I think she got out of this is just because she did let him have that power over her and went along with it. I think she maybe sensed that she had to. But at the same time, we kind of teach girls to get out and to not to stand up for themselves. But I think if she would have stood up for herself, she probably wouldn't be here to tell her story either. So within months, Drew was engaged again to Kathleen Savio. And 2 months later, they had this giant wedding in 1992. And the couple had 2 sons together of their own. So he has 2 sons from his first marriage. Then Vicky, they did not have any children together, luckily. Now he's married to Kathleen. He's got 2 older sons that are he has custody of probably every other weekend, I'm guessing. And so they're around, and
Drew continued his ways of controlling. Kathleen became isolated from her family. Drew worked on destroying her self-esteem and self-worth by telling her she was fat and worthless, and I'm sure other things that controlling small-dicked men like to tell women to make them think they're not good enough to find someone who won't treat them like dog crap. I mean, he's pretty much the classic controlling, abusive husband, boyfriend. He isolates her from her family, so she doesn't have anybody to turn to, and makes her feel like she's worthless. She has two children with him, so she's probably afraid to fight for anything. And so she stays. Now, I hope that if any of our listeners are going through any kind of domestic violence situation, that rather than fight or put up with it, that they would just get themselves out in any way they possibly could. And we will talk about a program later on in this that was set up by one of Drew's family members. So anyways, we'll get back to that. But one of Drew's older sons would often go back and tell his mom, Carol, which was Drew's first wife, stories of violence going on in the home. He explained some of the beatings when he would come home from spending the time, like the weekend there. He said it sounded like a train going through the home. And he described Kathleen being beaten, dragged by her hair. And Kathleen continued to put up with all the abuse because she had nowhere to go. She felt like she had nowhere to go. P.S. There's always somewhere to go. Yeah.
Let someone drag me anywhere by my hair and I'm gonna fucking flip my shit.
Yeah. Yep. But sometimes I think women have already been, like, it starts out slow. They don't start by dragging you around by your hair.
They're conditioned at that point.
Yeah. It's the slow progression of beating you down emotionally and then beating you down physically. And at some point, you start to think these things are your fault, even though they're not, and that you deserve it, even though you don't. And it's like a psychosis these guys have, that they are able to even, like, long term basically beat people into submission. It's awful, but it happens all the time. So now Kathleen put up with all this because she'd been conditioned to believe she had nowhere to go, and she's isolated from the outside world by her husband by design. She wanted to be with her boys, so she stayed out of fear of losing her children, which I think is enough for any mother to kind of put up with a lot, probably. But after 10 years of marriage, Drew met a desk clerk at a hotel. 17-year-old Stacy Ann Kales.
I'm sorry. 17? Uh-huh.
Say it again. Yeah. Yeah. 17.
17.
And now he is not 17. He is 47 at this point. Basically, every new girlfriend, wife he finds is 10 years younger than the last one. So at this point, he's 30 years older than she is. Now, he probably could smell the tragedy on her. Like, he could just seek out victims at this point because he's been doing it for so long. And she came from a tragic family life that she had no parents at this point and was basically out on her own at 17 years old. So when Drew came along and promised her the world, he could give her everything she didn't have. Money, a stable home, travel. Now, he wasn't rich, but he definitely had means, and he was well enough off. Drew was 30 years older than her, and that's a statutory rape case. Like, but there's no one in her life to notice or care that this old man is taking advantage of her. So Drew started taking Stacy back to his house, and they would stay in the basement with his wife and children upstairs.
What?
They didn't, and yeah, his wife at the time, Kathleen, didn't even know.
How do you not know that there's a 17-year-old in your basement?
I'm assuming it was, like, late night. Everybody's asleep in the house. I don't know the setup of the house. Maybe they could just walk down the back door to the basement. Like, I have no idea. But Kathleen found out when she received an anonymous letter in her mailbox telling her Drew was having a relationship with a teenager. She did end up confronting him with it, and he basically told her to ignore it and mind her own business.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, but she did finally file for a divorce. Unlike Vicky, Kathleen wanted her fair share out of their divorce settlement. She made reports of abuse, and Kathy told her sister that if she died, it was Drew. She feared he would kill her and make it look like an accident. Meanwhile, Drew bought another house on the same street as Kathy and moved in with his new 17-year-old, well, she's probably 18 by this point, new young girlfriend, let's say. The pair would basically taunt Kathleen. They would drive by her house, rollerblade by her house. They lived on the same street. And I don't want to talk illy of Stacy because she's basically a child, but she was kind of in on parts of this. Like, she would drive by Kathy's house and, like, flick her off, which is a stupid teenage, like, thing to do. But imagine your husband leaves you for a child, and then him and his new child bride are living down the street and, like, drive by your house and have your kids on the weekend. Like, it's just
I would fucking stab somebody.
it's like, how has he gotten away with being such a shithead to this point? Even it's kind of gross. It's really gross. He's basically a child molester at this point, on top of all the other shitty things. So no, not child rapist. Well, that's what we'll say. So during this time, Kathy called the police several times. She did not just lie down and let Drew have the power over her that he wanted. Drew repeatedly broke into her house, which sounds familiar. He was continuing to beat her. She made police reports, and in one specific one, she said he would either try to take her kids from her next or just kill her instead. But Drew started making his own reports, citing domestic violence as well, and had Kathy arrested, which for me is like mind blown. I mean, you have this guy who has a history of things, but because he's a police officer, he seems to get away with them. He knows he's getting away with it because of that as well, I think. And I never knew this part of the story, that he had actually made reports against her as well. I every time I watch something on the story, and I've been paying attention to the story since it very first happened because it was so close to me. But it's like he went to such great lengths to try to discredit her before that. He'd been abusing her for 10 years. And he went to insane lengths to try and discredit her and make it look like maybe she's the crazy one, which is also pretty classic. And then he wouldn't have to share anything with her in the divorce, including their children. So Drew and Kathy were divorced in 2003 in October, but there was a continuance of division of assets, which I didn't know that was a thing either. I thought once the divorce was finalized, everything was settled, but I've never been through a divorce, so that's something I learned that's new as well. Like, did you?
I mean, by the time, so we had our last divorce hearing. I left in April, and it was either the end of September or like the middle of September where we like finalized everything. And then we had to just wait for the court to file it. I was still getting stuff from him after that, but I also didn't have the means to take everything of mine when I left. Okay. So I think if everybody is like getting along well enough, or if you just want to put up more of a fight, then you continue to fight over the stuff. But I mean, Ryan and I haven't always gotten along, but we definitely got along enough for me to get my shit.
Well, so here's the thing. The assets that she was fighting for at this point was like half of his pension, the house, because she's
How long were they married for?
For 10 years.
So,
and really, while all this is going on, they're still married, so technically like 11 by the time their divorce was finalized.
So in order to get alimony, you have to be married 5 years in Ohio. Now, I did get everything, not everything, but like what he accrued in his retirement from the day that we got married to the day that I left, I got part of that.
So, but she, well, he has a huge pension as well, because he's been on the force for a long time. He ended up not taking his full pension. Well, I'll come back to all that. But anyways, it's just all madness. So he ended up, their divorce was finalized, but they hadn't agreed on all of the assets and things because she wanted half, basically. They'd been married for 10 years. They had two kids together. She wanted half his pension. She wanted half. And honestly, I don't understand. I don't see why she shouldn't get it, but obviously he was not willing to share that. So 1 week after their divorce was finalized, he married Stacy.
The 17-year-old?
Yeah, well, at this point, because the divorce has been going on, I want to say she was 19 and he was 49 at the time. So gross. It's been a little, yeah, it's still absolutely disgusting and ridiculous. But at least she's legal now, which he couldn't have married her when she was 17. Not in Illinois. or at least not without like the written consent of her parents that she doesn't have. So I don't even know how that would have worked. But anyways, so he never gets in trouble for raping a 17-year-old, basically. And he's now married to her. And Stacey's young. She's certainly too young to be getting married. I think that is what made her so easy for Drew to manipulate, and likely why he chose her in the first place. He ended up molding her into exactly what he wanted, literally. He got her braces. He got her LASIK, lipo, a tummy tuck, and a new set of tits.
I need a tummy tuck.
Well, you don't need a Drew Peterson, though, so.
Oh, that's good. True.
He kind of made her into his own little doll. And I remember the assets were not finalized with his divorce yet. So Drew had his boys for a weekend, and when he's supposed to return them to Kathy, she isn't answering the door or her phone. Drew doesn't call in a welfare check or the police. He instead calls a neighbor and a locksmith. He had the neighbors go into the house to look for Kathy, and he kind of tells them each where to go. And one of them finds her upstairs in the tub of her master bath, face down, with blood in the tub, but no water in the tub. She had a gash on the back of her head. So because Kathy was the ex of one of the local police, they called in the state police, which is the right move. But the state police kind of bungled it.
Of course.
Well, he also had friends in the state police. So they interviewed Drew, but in his own break room at work, not in their headquarters like they would have with just any Joe Schmo. And one of the investigating officers was a friend of Drew's. They interviewed his current wife, Stacy, as well, but they allowed him to be present for this interview, which really irks me. She gave him the alibi he needed, telling them Drew had been with her. But what else could she say? He was sitting next to her. She's young, she's afraid of her husband, and she was pregnant with their first child. So the state police end up ruling Kathleen's death accidental. She had $1 million life insurance policy, which ends up going to her boys, who are now living with their father. And the day of the funeral, Drew emptied Kathy's house of belongings and brought everything to his new house. The new couple had two children of their own. So, Drew and Stacy had their first son in 2003, which is months later. And it gave me chills a little that they named their daughter Lacey, because we know of another awful story that involves a Lacey Peterson.
No.
Yeah, Scott Peterson, who we'll probably cover at some point, had allegedly murdered on Christmas Eve his wife and unborn son, his wife Lacey Peterson. So it's just like an odd parallel for me that they ended up naming their daughter Lacey Peterson. So Drew and Stacy's marriage began to sour pretty quickly. Stacy was still very young, and she's 21, and instead of being able to go out with friends, she's not only raising her own two children at such a young age, but she's now got four kids because she's got the two sons from Drew's previous marriage to Kathleen. So to make things worse, she was under Drew's thumb. He controlled everything she did. He tracked her phone, checked her mileage on her car, controlled every penny she had to spend. Stacy discussed plans to leave Drew with her sister, but she would never get the chance. 3.5 years after Kathleen's death, Stacy was supposed to go to her brother's to help paint, but she never showed up. Her sister, Cassandra, became worried immediately when she couldn't get a hold of Stacy. The next day, Drew started telling people that Stacy had run off with another man and that she had left his car at a local airport. He claimed she took some cash out of their safe and a bikini, and poof, she ran off with another man. Isn't that how a mother of two usually disappears? Just takes some cash and a bikini and is like, bye, later days, guys. See ya. On the flip side, I mean, are there mothers that would do that? Yes, but she also never used her cell phone again. She didn't use her card again. So whatever little bit of cash she took out of their safe is all she had with her, that in a bikini. I mean, it's not logical. Now, throughout the whole story, you can see the progression of him. He's the ultimate narcissist. He doesn't do rejection. He likes attention. And on top of that, he's a police officer. So as far as he's concerned, he's invincible. He got away with almost killing Vicky because she was too terrified to say anything. And now his third wife is mysteriously dead in a bathtub, a dry bathtub at that. And his fourth wife is supposedly run off with some other guy.
He's Batman.
Yeah, it's a lot of coincidences. Drew becomes this media clown during all this. He absolutely relished the attention. He quickly became a suspect in Stacy's disappearance. But not only didn't he take the charges seriously, he didn't seem to care that she was gone. He did several interviews that I recommend you listen to or watch. You can Google them. There's a ton of them. He's a fucking shit show. With the suspicion surrounding Drew, he ended up quitting the force short of his 30 years, but he got a pension just short of $7,000 a month. So
that's a lot of money.
It is. And that's less than what he would have gotten at his full pension. So that's what Kathleen was fighting for half of. And that's what he didn't want to give up, you know? So Drew did put together a $25,000 reward for information on the disappearance of Stacy, which actually still stands today, as far as I know. But I think he did it basically because he knew no one would ever find her. With all the craziness surrounding the disappearance of Stacy, people started taking a second look at the strange death of Kathleen. Investigators actually ended up reopening the case of her death. And within weeks, of Stacy's disappearance, they were exhuming Kathy's body for a new autopsy, which Kathy's family had never believed that it was an accident to begin with. And her sister's done a few interviews as well, saying, like, immediately she knew Drew did it because her sister had basically told her, if I die, it wasn't an accident. Drew killed me. So they had tried to fight to get her some justice, but there was really nothing they could do once her death had been ruled an accident. But now things were turning around a little bit. As Drew made the rounds on media, past women he had started to date or had dated started coming out and telling their stories, including Kyle Morrison, which she may never have come out to tell her story, but Drew had kind of poked that sleeping bear himself. He went on an interview and claimed that she was a jilted lover who he'd broken up with, probably trying to discredit her and other women before they could come forward and say anything negative about him. So it's like that same cycle of trying to make the woman look like she's crazy. And so anything she says, it doesn't matter because she's nuts. Anyways, you know, it's that. Anyway, so Drew's loving all this attention. He even agreed to do a radio show dating game, which is sick because he should never be dating anybody.
What year is this?
2007?
A radio dating game?
Yeah, could be 2008 by now because she disappeared in 2007. So I'm not sure exactly when he'd been making the rounds for a little while at this point. It could be like 2008 by now. During an interview, Drew had agreed with the interviewer that he was not. So back up. During an interview, Drew had agreed that the interviewer was not to talk about anything except for the dating game and the show. But the interviewer went back on it kind of, and he just really wasn't interested in the dating game because who the hell cares? That's ridiculous. And there's a much bigger story. So the interviewer starts asking questions about his missing wife and the death of his previous wife. And as soon as it wasn't going how Drew had wanted, he ended the interview. He just peaced out. He was like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to discuss any of that. And he ended it. Now, with all of the circus surrounding him, you'd think Drew would try to lay low, let things die down. But Drew couldn't help himself. And soon after, he was engaged again to a 23-year-old named Christina Rains. And I remember seeing this interview and thinking, girl, you're in trouble. Like, why? Why? But he seemed to have this one duped just like the others. And she gave an interview sitting right next to him, saying basically he wouldn't hurt anyone. She didn't believe he would ever hurt her. And I just can't, when I saw the interview, and even to this day, I just can't understand why. What the hell does this guy have that he is able to con all of these women into being with him and going along with everything he says? I've heard that he was charming, which, okay, I don't get that out of the interviews of him I've seen. He's definitely not a looker, even when he was younger. He had a good living, but he isn't like a billionaire with mansions and jets. And all of the women throughout the years that, if you like look through, Carol, Vicky, Kathleen, Stacy, they're all beautiful women. And it's like, did he just, I don't know. I don't understand it.
I'm looking at his picture right now.
Yes. He is one murderer I would actually be intrigued to kind of interview, even though I'd probably end up strangling him with my bare hands. But just because I'm curious to try and understand why people even tolerated him. Because in his interviews, he's obnoxious. It's like, I don't know. And then, so shortly after that interview, he's engaged to this new woman, Christina Raines. She doesn't stick around. She must have gotten smart pretty quick to who he really was, because she did another interview on her own, and she called their relationship like a publicity stunt to get Drew in the media, which is
fitting.
It's all strange. It's all very odd. And shortly after this, Drew was finally arrested and charged with the murder of his third wife, Kathleen Savio. A new autopsy revealed deep bruising on her body that indicated she had been in a struggle before she died, making it more likely that Kathleen was actually murdered and that it wasn't an accidental death. Eventually, a minister came forward and said that Stacy had confided in him that Drew had killed Kathleen weeks before Stacy went missing. So weeks before she went missing, Stacy confides in a minister that Drew had actually killed Kathleen. She is looking into divorcing him, but Stacy would never get to tell her story. Luckily, they did let the minister testify at the murder trial for Kathleen, even though it was hearsay, which is unusual, but I'm glad that they did. It also came to light that Drew's stepbrother, Thomas, unknowingly helped Drew move a warm blue barrel out of his bedroom on the day that Stacy went missing. He shared this information with their neighbor, Walter, who also testified at the trial to corroborate Thomas's statements, because Thomas, I guess, had some alcohol and drug dependency issues, so he wasn't necessarily the most reliable. But apparently the day that it happened, he had gone to his neighbor Walter. He was upset. He basically had thought he had unknowingly accidentally helped Drew dispose of Stacy. Now, Walter, the neighbor who he had confided in, was able to testify at the trial, but he later died in a car accident when his delivery truck hit a semi-trailer. And to this day, the blue container that Thomas had helped Drew move has never been found. And it's just possibly not connected in any way, but knowing that Walter died in a car accident and that Drew has previously tried to take someone out by cutting their brakes, I'd be very curious to see the reports, which I wasn't able to find anything on it. It just said it was an accident on the highway in the reports, but and nobody has even, what's the word, seemed to suspect that anything was foul, but it's just another coincidence where someone was hurt or died around Drew. So Drew was eventually convicted and sentenced to 38 years for the death of Kathleen Savio. But it didn't end there. While in prison, Drew couldn't take defeat any better than he had taken rejection. He concocted an idea to go after the state's attorney, Jim Glasgow. He was caught on tape in the prison saying that if he were able to get out on his appeals, that Glasgow would charge him with Stacy's murder to keep him in. So Drew tried to hire a hitman to murder the state's attorney, Jim Glasgow, from prison. Thankfully, the person who set up the meeting, I believe it was a cellmate of Drew's, was wired, and he basically set Drew up
Glasgow called Peterson a psychopath who tried to kill him for doing his job. And I think he's right on the money. It's like he just cannot take that he's been beaten, that he's finally paying even a minuscule amount for all the shit he's done. So now you're going to try and murder somebody else standing in your way. It's not your wives anymore. Now you're going to kill the state's attorney. It's insane. It's all insane. Today, Drew is in prison for the murder of his third wife. Stacy has never been found nearly 13 years after her disappearance. Though her sister, Cassandra Kales, has a Facebook page that you can actually still go on today. She posts things. She does hold out hope to at least bring Stacy's body home one day. And there was something, I think it was last September, that Cassandra had posted where she thinks she knows where Stacy's body actually is, through some sonar in like a body of water, that but she needs people to be able to dive. And I don't understand if it's just too hard to dive there in order to retrieve what's going, like what they believe is Stacy's body. I'm not really sure how any of that works. I would think that if the police believed it actually was Stacy, they would exhume her from this body of water. But it's interesting to watch this Facebook page and things that are posted. I do hope that they end up bringing her home one day. There was actually a Dr. Phil episode in the last year, maybe 6 months ago, that I watched. So remember, Drew has six kids total. Two sons from his first marriage who are probably about my age at this point. Two sons from Kathleen, and then a son and a daughter from Stacy. Now, his older two were adults when he ended up finally going to prison. One of his sons was married and had kids of his own. And he ended up taking on his younger siblings, which he pretty much attributes to the ending of his own marriage, because that's taking on four kids that are your sibling. Like, that's a lot for anyone. It's a lot on a marriage. The entire case has been a lot, probably for him to handle emotionally as well. He basically has come to the conclusion that he's a police officer as well now. But he also now believes that his father did kill both Kathleen Savio, and that he most likely did murder and dispose of Stacy. So, and that's an episode I recommend watching as well. It's very heartbreaking. I can't imagine, it's still his father. It's very hard to probably come to the conclusion that your dad's capable of something like that, especially when, as far as being a father, people had said, including Kathy and Cece, that he was a good dad. He took care of his kids. So I don't know. That's a lot. Now, Drew's sister-in-law, Norma Peterson, who I believe was married or is married to his stepbrother Thomas, the one who accidentally may have helped him dispose of Stacy's body. She's always believed since the beginning that he murdered Stacy. She created a website. It's called documenttheabuse.com. And it's basically, I mean, obviously, if you can get out of a situation, please do. And just get out. If you are staying for any reason, Document the Abuse is basically an affidavit site where you can put in anything that's happening. And it's saved there. It's basically like a if I went missing folder kind of thing. Like, a lot of people recommend that you have a folder with all your important documents and things like that. But this is basically so that if anyone who is being abused, if something happens to them, They have everything in one place that is documented of what has been going on. So
that's a great idea.
It is. It's at least one small positive that's come out of all of this just heartache and I don't know. It's a lot. This is a big kind of hairy case. And I feel like there's so much information in this case that every time I watch a documentary or look online, there's just something new to learn. I do feel for Stacy's sister. I can't imagine losing a sibling or family member in general and never being able to find out what happened to them. Or knowing what happened to them, but just not knowing where they are. And that part really, I don't know, it bothers me. It bothers me that she was so young. Like, she didn't even stand a chance against him, almost. No. You know? And I don't know. I would love to see, I wonder if there are any, now that Drew is in prison, or if Vicky's just still, I'm sure, terrified of him. But I wonder, I haven't seen any interviews from her personally, only from like friends and things. But I would be very curious as to what she would say today regarding him. But
yeah.
Anyways, guys, that is the murder of Kathleen Savio, missing disappearance of Stacy Peterson. And unfortunately, the ongoing story with Drew Peterson, the murderer, who, because he was a police officer, I think is why this keeps happening, they continuously move him from prison to prison because people in prison don't like police officers. And
I wonder why.
Yeah. Well, and especially dirty cops. So they have to, I've seen at least twice that they moved him from one prison to another. And I'm curious if they maybe have to keep him in isolation in order to keep him alive. I mean, yeah.
It wouldn't shock me.
No. But I'm glad he's finally where he belongs. I just wish, and I'm sure he'll take all of this to the grave with him. He'll never admit to having murdered Kathleen out loud, maybe on his deathbed. I doubt it. Or Stacy. And I just wish he would give up her location because... at least closure. That would be exactly. So. All right.
Well, that was a doozy.
I know. It's a lot. And there, I feel like there, I probably missed some information because there's just so much information. Like there's even a whole rabbit hole with the stepbrother, Thomas. And it's just, there's just a lot. It's hard to also pick through and try and figure out what's fact and what's just sensationalized because Drew was such an attention whore. But yeah. If you are listening, we have gained a lot of new listeners in different places. We added Brazil recently, which I thought was super cool. And if you're listening on Apple, please go give us a review. We super appreciate everybody who reviews because the more you do that, or the more you follow us on different platforms, the more other people will see us. So please do that and definitely hop over to Twitter. With the holidays, I've been slacking a little bit as far as how much I am on there, but I will hopefully be back on there a lot more now that the kids are going back to school. And Instagram as well. It's been this weird, like, change of year where we both have had holidays and all that jazz, but hopefully we'll get back to posting all the time on Instagram and Twitter. So definitely go follow us on there. Our handle for Twitter is crime_project. But you can search True Crime Project for either of those, Instagram or Twitter, and you will find us. And if you have any stories of your own that you would like us to share, definitely email us at truecrimeprojectpod@gmail.com. We love reading your emails. And we would like to put together some other types of episodes So if you send us your stories, we will share them. Did we have any other orders of business to take care of today?
We still have that contest going on Instagram. It was supposed to end Christmas Day, but since we only have one comment on it, I'm just letting it go. So if you do get on Apple and rate us, comment on the Instagram post of a free t-shirt that you did. And as soon as we get, let's say, like 10 people that comment, we'll close it and draw a winner.
Okay. Oh, I know what we forgot to talk about. So this week we were supposed to have a special episode, but, you know, life happens. Steph was supposed to be up here this week. Hopefully we will end up being able to do our special episode for you where we are together, and hopefully we'll be able to make that happen sometime in the near future. But yeah, I threw this episode together in order to make up for that. So hope you guys understand. Hopefully we will be able to make that up sometime this month, maybe, or I don't know. We'll see. But you know, life happens. So. All right.
Yeah. I think that's all we have.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed our episode of this psycho murderer. It's basically like the Black Widower, but everybody have a great rest of your week, and we will see you next week. If not sooner, maybe we'll throw in a bonus episode here soon. I don't know. Have to come up with something interesting to share, which there's always too much. But all right, everybody, have a great week.
Bye, guys.